change, you realize how important a budget is. A few of us have decided to get back into the budgeting of our personal finances, and we're finding out that we're spending way too much in some areas and not enough in others, and so that brings some sort of self-control in the spending and giving us wisdom on what are the priorities. You know, if we don't, you know, we get so used to the credit card, we forget, you know, we'll pay later, and we don't feel it, and we just slice that thing, stick that thing, and go ahead. And some of us came to the realization, man, we're spending too much money on some categories that shouldn't be. Well, the same thing happens in the church. We can get caught up in some of the things that we forget the priorities of the house and where we have committed first and foremost in the house. So as we gather as members of the board of directors who keep the finances of the church every year before the end of September, we approve a budget for the following fiscal year that starts October 1st to September 30th of this coming 2024. In November, we will have an annual members meeting to where we will disclose how we did this past year as far as the finances and the budgeting, and how the Lord has really blessed us, and you'll get some details of that. You know, we don't advertise too much the fact that we're a corporation, and that as a state corporation, a nonprofit corporation, we have bylaws and we have memberships. And so you can come to this church with no strings attached, but God is all about commitment. You know, we commit ourselves to Jesus, we commit ourselves to the Word, and we commit ourselves to local churches where we can become active members and put our hands to the plow in a particular place rather than being scattered all over the place. And we can be effective. And so this house has membership. You know, we made a commitment that we are going to be habitual attenders of whatever ministry that this church gives. You become a member and you have privileges of deciding who is going to represent you as far as budget is concerned in the church. And so every so often we have members who serve for 4 years as members of the board of directors who help choose and direct the use of funds in this church. And so every November we have, whenever the election time is ready for one member to leave and some to come, then there are members of this house that can become members of the board to help direct the finances. And so for that, you need to become a member of Life Ministries Church. There's a form that you fill out. It's got some questions. You know, are you a believer? Are you committed to the Lord? Do you honor His word? Do you give to this house faithfully? And, you know, are you willing to give your talents and abilities as the Lord leads you within this house so that we can use the skills and ability God has placed on you for the benefit of this body as well as whatever else the body is involved. Some time ago, we presented a few people that became members recently, and there was a group of other people that were not here that made a commitment, and I want to call them up. We'd like to let you know who else has been committed to being part of this body as members, and we want to bless them. So Natalie, come down. You become a member. She became 18, and she's an adult. Now she could choose. Marilyn and Jay, you can come down as well. And is Melanie here? No. Yes, yeah, nah, Melanie, come down. I didn't see you. Sorry. Josh and Selena, I don't think we have prayed for you, right? You did? Okay, you have been exposed to... Oh, okay, then I won't embarrass you today. Jose and Jonathan, you have been here? We have prayed for you? Well, yeah. Okay. So, Eric, Jasenia, would you help us? Oh, they're here. I just didn't see you. They're ahead. All right. So these are the members that have joined the ranks of this church. And so they're here to give you a hand as well as pray for you. And we can count on them for whatever else. So,
yeah. There's been children raised in this house. Now you're 18. So at any time that you would like to make it official, I mean, you are part of this body. And we understand that when we get to heaven, the Lord is not going to say, okay, Life Ministry Church people this way or not, right? We know that's not it. But here on earth, where we're here, we need to abide by the laws of the land. And so if you turn 18, we don't want to miss you. Amen? And so you just ask for a form, and we'll give it to you, and we'll bless you. Amen? Next step.
Yep. Okay. Father, we just thank you for these that have committed themselves to being part an effective and an efficient part of this body. Father, they have said yes to your call. You have called them for such a time as this to put the hands of the plow in this house, to minister to and to be ministered by your Spirit, Father, while here. Father, we pray that you would strengthen them. Father, gird them up and bring them up in the growth and the expanse of your kingdom on their lives, Father, individually, and Father, that they would become the people that you want to flow through to bless others around them, Father, not just in this house, but in the community they live. And Lord, we just thank you for the gifts and talents and abilities that you placed on them. And Father, we pray that you use them for your glory and for the good of the people around them. And Father, that they would know that you are in them to doing your good pleasure, to bring about your plan on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray for health, provision, protection, and your anointing for them to grow, to be everything you call them to be. And Father, we just thank you for their commitment, and we pray, Father, that you would do great exploits through them. And Father, we bless them and their families in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Any words? Everybody good? Okay, we appreciate that. It's one of the rare moments in my life that I prayed a lot and I didn't get a specific message. However, I'm not going to let you go by without hearing the word. I want you all to turn to your Bibles, to your phones, whatever you have, your word. I want you to turn to Psalm 91. You know, I try to be prepared in every sermon, and I like to display the word and you know, be as thorough as I can be to give you the word. And yet, I'm not saying that the Lord didn't give me a message. I just didn't hear it. And so I trust him that he will bring a word for you in due season. I'm asking the Lord not to allow my lack of hearing to rob you from your word, from the word for you for this season. Now, Psalm 91 has been a special psalm for us in our family since the beginning of our walk. And I'm sure that my wife and Leda and probably Daniel can testify of a few of the instances that we use Psalm 91 in our family struggles at the early point of our lives when we were growing up as a family. And I want, at any point you can pitch in your personal testimony, but one of the things that we decided to do was to memorize Psalm 91. It is so rich and faith-giving psalm. It's got a lot of the promises of God. Even though it's in the Old Testament, it is applicable to us today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The psalmist could only experience God to a limited portion in the Old Testament. This probably was written by David. I didn't check for sure. King David. But he knew about God. He knew about God's presence. And he understood the importance of staying connected with the Lord. And so I'm going to read the psalm and then make some a few comments on it. But I urge you, especially you who have fears, who have concerns about things in life, who even have phobias about different things, memorize this psalm and quote it to yourself. It'll bring faith that would arise within you as you quote the words of this psalm, and it'll give you strength as the Lord works through you to bring out of that, bring you out of that, whatever situation you're going through. Remember, Satan works in darkness, and as you quote the word, you know, the word of God is light. And like I said before, light will always prevail against darkness when you apply it. It has to be applied. I mean, you can have a torch, you can have a very bright light, but if you don't turn it on, darkness will prevail. But as soon as you turn that light on, darkness has no chance. So, Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. And then the Lord starts speaking to you and me. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, when back in the days, we used to use the King James Version, and that's how I memorize it. So sometimes I want to revert back to the King James and change a few of the words here. But let's go through this slowly so that you can catch and place yourself in the position where this psalmist is speaking. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that means you are in continual pressing on to be in the things of the Lord, be in his presence, be in prayer and communication with him, praising him, acknowledging him, trying to listen to what he's telling you, and then you telling him things. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know, in these heated days that we've had, I'm like the old bull looking for a shade every time I'm outside. And this is a picture of what the Lord is telling us here. You know, if we really seek for the Lord, then we shall abide under the shadow of his shadow. That means protection, his care for us. And then he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Fear doesn't have to possess you. In fact, God is saying here, you know, if you abide with me, then I'm going to be your fortress. I am going to be your refuge. You can always come to me, and I will be your place of safety. And then he says, verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So a snare, a trap, may be out there created by the enemy. And he says, I'll deliver you. I will point it out before you take your step into that trap. And I'll let you know that it's there. It's up to you to decide whether to step on it or not. But I warn you about it. And then he says, he'll deliver us from the perilous pestilence. He's talking here spiritually. You know, there's a lot of things that become a pestilence to us in the spirit. There's people that are always bringing the wrong ideas into us and polluting our minds with the wrong thoughts. But if we abide in his shadow, then he will deliver us from those kind of atmospheres, toxic armors, atmospheres that sometimes we have no choice but to hang around. You know, at work, there may be toxic stuff, and yet you rely on the Lord, and he will shut the mouth of the enemy and bring some righteousness in there. And so then he says, he paints a picture of a mother hen taking care of her chicks. He says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you shall take refuge. You've seen the documentaries. I'm sure if you have been around chicken with chicks, you know they love to be under mama and under the wings of mama, because they feel safety, they feel warm, they feel protected, and mama is going to fight for them if they're there. And so this is a kind of picture that God wants us to envision him as mother hen taking care of each one of us chicks. Then he says, his truth shall be your shield and buckler. Where's the word buckler here? A small shield is a buckler. So as you rely on God's truth, that's going to protect you from the attacks of the enemy. You know, he says he's always shooting arrows and darts towards us. And that's what we use our shield of truth. As we understand the truths of loving God, then we know that we can stand trusting him to protect us. Then he says, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night. And boy, some of us are terrorized by nightmares and even scars from early childhood of things in the dark and closet and all kinds of ugly things. But he's saying, you know, if you abide in his presence, under his shadow, under his protection, you will not be afraid for a terror by night, or for the things that attack you during the day, the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness. Again, the darkness in there wants to take opportunity and take you by surprise. But if you walk in the light, as God is the light, Jesus said, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, yeah, go ahead.
Some years ago, a mother came to us because their child had nightmares at night, like he would scream and not being able to sleep and all that. So we present in Psalms 91. And we told him, just read this, just pray this psalm over him. And he was little. He was like, I think 7 or 8 at a time. But he was just constantly, and they did. They start together, you know. And in fact, by reading this, the mama was not safe. But she did it. She just declared this over the child. Then she got saved. Her husband got saved through all that. And the little boy memorized the whole Psalms. And the nightmare stopped. Everything stopped, and the whole family came to the Lord. This little child grew up to be an awesome youth pastor. I mean, he is now ministering somewhere in up north Florida. And he always remembered that. He always remembered Psalms 91 as one that brought not only him and brought him peace, right? When you pray it and you read it and you declare it, but transform his family. And so to this day, we still see the parents once in a while, you know, in town, and all the years has gone. And guess what's the first thing they remember? So again, take this Psalm 91, because it's powerful, and apply it, especially this part where Pastor George was talking about.
Yes. So you will not be afraid. Fear is of the enemy. Remember, fear is of the enemy. Now, Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Well, that's not the same fear that we're speaking about. The fear of the Lord is a reverence for the Lord. In other words, we don't take God as just a common thing. We realize who he is, the creator of the universe, and so we give him due reverence, but we don't fear God. In fact, anything goes wrong, we don't run from God, we run to God, even when he is correcting us. In fact, when he's correcting me, I fall on his mercy. I go to him for mercy because I know the enemy has no mercy for me. And so he is a kind and very loving God, and he will correct me with love, not like we do. So we will not be afraid for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Then he gives us a promise. A thousand, verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. In other words, the world may be experiencing disasters. You know, people talk about the economy. We're not subject entirely to the economy. We have privilege to a higher economy than the economy of the world. And though we live in this world, we're not of this world. So the Father has provided for us to live above the things of this world. And therefore, you know, when people that do not serve him, they may be victims of whatever's happening in the world. We are not of this world. So we have a Father that will bail us out, you know, as we abide in his presence. And it will not come near you. In fact, he says in verse 8, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, while the world is tossed to and fro and subject to the laws of this world and its punishment, we have the privilege to stand back and see and not being touched by those things of the world. Because we belong to the kingdom of God, not to the kingdom of this world. And we see people that live, you know, in sin, well, how they end up, you know. Especially now we have records of people and their lifestyles and what their end result seems to be. And before, you know, the communication wasn't so great, but now, you know, the documentation of people's lives and their results in life and all that documented and written for us, we can look and see the lifestyle of some. You know, you may look at people and say, well, you know, he's a wicked person and yet he's prosperous. Well, like they say, wait for it. It's going to happen sooner or later. The enemy is going to claim and destroy him. or her. Now, verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Now, let me say this. Jesus says that everyone who lives godly will suffer persecution, tribulation. However, we're not, you know, we saw, as we studied the book of Acts, we saw how the apostles and the ministers of the gospel in the book of Acts suffered persecution, and yet God somehow delivered them. They do went through some hard times, but God was always there, restoring, renewing, bringing them out of their situation, and bringing glory to himself through the acts that they did. So it's not that we're going to have a rosy life, but God is going to be with us. And so we can trust and bank that though we may go through hardships, we're not alone. And God said, you know, I will vindicate you. I will make sure that you are restored. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You know, that's one of the things that we claim in the house all the time. You know, the viruses and sickness and disease are coming around, and everybody says, well, it's going everywhere. And we get to the house, as we claim Psalm 91 that says, no evil shall befall you, us, nor any plague come near my dwelling place. You know, we personalize this, and I'll show you in a minute how we personalize this. But we have the promise of the word. If I stay and abide with the Lord, then I have the promise that God will take care of whatever plague wants to come in. You know, we do that with any kind of plague. At times we have had roaches come in the house, and we look like they are plagues, ants and field rats trying to come around our neighborhood, snakes. And I know my wife is pretty good at claiming, you know, no plague shall come near our dwelling place in the name of Jesus. And somehow they're taken care of. And then verse 11 is very interesting. And the reason I say that is when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, the devil came up with this scripture to Jesus. The devil knows scripture, and you need to know it so that you know whether it's in context or not. The devil used scripture out of context here and tempted Jesus. And verse 11 says, for he, meaning God, shall give his angels charge over you to keep you on your ways, keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So the devil took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, and the devil tempted Jesus, saying, here, Jesus, this is a high place. Throw yourself down, because it is written, God will take care of you so that you don't dash your foot against a stone here. Well, you see what the devil did? He took scripture and took it separately from everything else that he said. You know, we started the psalm saying, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, you know, he is my refuge and my fortress. If he's not my refuge and my fortress, then I can't claim the other stuff that the psalm says. And so the enemy says to Jesus, hey, here, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Throw yourself down so that the angels will minister and pick you up so that you don't get hurt. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So Satan wanted Jesus to presumptuously throw himself, like God is going to take care of you no matter what you do. Well, sometimes we find ourselves in the same spot. We do foolish stuff. We do things without thinking them through, without asking the Lord whether it's the right thing to do or not. And then we want God to bail us out. Oh, he'll send you angels to protect me. Well, you know, just like the enemy, if you just take that portion of scripture without looking at the whole setting of the scripture, then you may be claiming the scripture in the wrong setting. And God is not going to respond to that kind of interpretation. Verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. Both can be deadly. And God said, you have authority over them. And God gave Adam dominion over all the animals. The lion and the cobra were included. And God is restoring us to the authority that Adam and Eve had before they sinned. And so we have authority over all of nature. We just have to use that authority. We have it, but we have to use it in order for it to work. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. In other words, that will not have the upper hand upon you. But of course, if you're foolish, if you think that you can just play with snakes and not get bitten, well, you're looking for trouble. And then God starts talking to the psalmist. See, the psalmist at this time, he's talking to us about the promises of God. But then God steps in and gives us promises. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. In other words, those that dwell with in the presence of God and has set his love upon them, God will deliver you. He's a deliverer. I will set him on high because he has known my name. So many times people make fun of us because we're Christian, because we're funny, because we're weird. And yet God has a way of vindicating us and making them look like foolish later on. You know, you have that promise, you know. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn, for that's the heritage of the saints of God. I will set him on high because he has known my name. This is God saying to us. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. You know, there's no ifs, ands, and buts here. God will answer when you call upon him if you dwell in his presence. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Not only will he deliver us, but then exonerate us before people and put us in the right standing with the Lord and with people. Give us favor with man and God. And then I have experienced this personally. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Definitely I was told by the doctors that I wouldn't live past 2 years after my cancer in 1986. And God had other plans. And so he has given me long life. I'm about to turn 70. And I plan to stay a little longer because you have been not quite perfect yet. So I need to work on you. So, you know, my wife was sharing a while ago, Pastor Asia was sharing a while ago about, you know, even if you don't understand the Christian life, and you know, you can't wrap it around your head. You know, many people say, well, then God doesn't exist. Christianity is a foolishness. And I have not seen anybody living with these principles of Christianity that are spelled out in the Bible. You know, even non-believers follow Christian principles and they are blessed. Many financial people use Christian principles even though they may not be saved, and God prosper them because they follow the proper procedures. And so and I lost my train of thought here, but you know, even when we apply these principles, I think it was the knot in my head the other day. Oh, by the way, some of you are seeing stitches on my head. Well, I hit my head Friday, and my family doctor came in to my rescue and to put some stitches on me. Johnny came and did some stitches. And so, once again, I'm proving I'm hard-headed. This call didn't get damaged, but still. So I want you to understand that you can personalize this psalm. And I'm going to read to you this psalm once again, but I am going to personalize it. And this is the beauty about Scripture. You can make it personal to you. See, I start this psalm saying, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wing I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may lay at my right side, and 10,000 at my 1,000 might fall at my right, at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes I will behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I will trample underfoot. And then, because I have set my love upon Him, therefore He will deliver me. He will set me on high because I have known His name. I will call upon Him and He will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor Him. And with long life He will satisfy me and show me His salvation. Amen. So as you learn this psalm, memorize it and apply it to your life. And whenever you're in distress, whenever you're in any kind of dark spot, or just to praise Him, just use this psalm out of your memory. Father, I thank You. Oh, yes. I forgot. We're going to finish with a song that Ricardo told us to, the Lord placed in his heart. And so He's going to bring some people, some musicians, and He's going to bless us with a song. Pay attention to the words, the lyrics, and as they bring this song to the Lord and they worship together with us.
Yes, we're going to worship and end up with worship.
The Lord put it in my heart to share this today with the body. And it's a song, that the song is called More Than Able. It's a song of when he realizes that he's struggling with doubt, but then comes to the realization of God is more than able to help me. And it is a declaration of faith. So I pray it blesses you, it blessed us. Oh, I do want to share one more thing, sorry. As I was praying and the Lord put it in my heart, He gave me a picture. And the picture was of a lighthouse, okay? A lighthouse is there to guide when people are in the darkness in the sea, right? So we look upon that light, right? And that's our guide. Just like Jesus is our light. Pastor George mentioned Jesus being the light several times today. So we look upon that light for guidance. But the struggle comes when the light is away. You know how it turns like this 360? And then that's when the enemy comes to disrupt us. Now, it doesn't take a long time to go around. But just picture that. That when it's around, it's away from us, the darkness and the enemy may come. But we have to look to the light. Amen? Amen.
start to forget all of the great things you did. When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? You do miracles. You are more than able. You are more than able. You are more than able.
The Lord can do. Who deny, to deny what the Lord can do. God is more than able.
What you're facing today is that unanswered prayer, that miracle, that breakthrough. It doesn't matter, right? God is more than what? Able. So just bring it before the Lord and trust that He's going to do it. Father, we thank You so much for Your presence, for Your anointing, for Your Spirit. And yes, Lord, You are more than able. And we thank You, Lord, for answering our coming, Lord, prayers that we have prayed, they're coming our way. We bless Your people. We bless the special. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Take your miracle with you.